Hello. Very quickly, I would like to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Like, comment, and share the videos.
Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Father, we thank you. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you help us to understand, help your children that are seeing us in different areas of the world, help the people who are watching us, listening through radio and through the internet, understand this doctrine that is sometimes preached. Help us to understand how to apply these truths in our daily lives and to know you more. Thank you. Amen. Last time we were together, we'll be seeing the study series on and what happened with Job. And let's see, our title for today, God did not cause Job's problem. As in, it wasn't God that caused it. People think that they're like Job, and there are doctrines, and perhaps I'll touch a little bit on the sovereignty of God. The last time we were at, I'll be continuing on Job 1, 22 and 23. Perhaps some of you think, and I think even someone asked me, how many sessions are we at? 4 now? And we're barely going to enter to verse 22. I'm not going to see every chapter and every verse. But we will see from here, perhaps get a little bit ahead of ourselves in other chapters, because we have to see some other points in the other chapters. So the issue with Job was his mouth. And the issue with the mouth is what's inside of us. Amen. So this applies to all of us. Why do we believe what we believe and say what we say? Because we believe it. Amen. Now, of course, I'm neither 21 or 22 years, but I'm neither calling myself old. Unless I have to clarify what I'm referring to when I say old, if I'm talking about chronologically speaking, compared to perhaps my children, then yeah, I'm old. But just to say old as, oh, we're old, I'm old. And I'm not even speaking that. I neither think it. The last 2 weeks, I've worked like a rented mule, physically speaking. I've worked, I've prayed, I've been preaching, I've been working within every area of my life. So, yeah, of course, I get tired sometimes, but I'm neither speaking it. Don't be speaking what you don't want to happen in your life. Speak blessing. Speak the favor of God. That's what we're going to learn with Job, the difference with him. Now, we're not going to make fun of him, as I've said before. We're not going to criticize him. He didn't understand, and so much so he didn't even live under the law, which are some of the points we saw in our last sessions. But he said something here in Job 1:21. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this part is used a lot in funerals. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. The last part we saw is that Job said this. Before continuing, I also need to clarify that no one knows truly who wrote the book of the Bible. And it's one of the oldest books in the Bible. There is a possibility that Eliu, someone named Eliu, wrote this book. And if I have time, I'll take you to see that. As we'll see, he's perhaps the one that wrote down and journaled everything that happened to Job, because he was there listening and he was present. Now Eliu, better so, was inspired by the Lord. Clarifying, so you can understand this. God did not inspire Job to say these things. Better said, God inspired perhaps Eliu to write down these things. I have to clarify that so you can understand it. But last time, I mean, if you remember this, last time we were together here, last Sunday, I said everything that was said in the Bible is true that it was said. Everything. How do we know it? Well, it's right there written. But not everything that was said was true. Not that God inspired it. That's perhaps it's a scripture that some of you are thinking. So in John chapter 8, John 8:48, thank you. 8:48 of John. And these were the disciples had gotten a bit mad at this. And let's see from verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking, talking to those Jews, and these are the ones that had believed in him. But verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So John 8:44-48. Help me here to remember that scripture. I want to show you. Do you know that scripture that some of you perhaps are thinking on? Every scripture is inspired by God, but I'll be explaining it right now. Perhaps some of you weren't even thinking on it, but others perhaps they were. So John 44:48. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you do want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Coming with the New Living Translation, says that he speaks of his own nature. New Living Translation, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. There's no such thing as a white lie. Some people have tell me, oh, you're very direct, Brother Hugh. Well, why would I lie? Best to say the truth. So one time, someone called me and they said, hey, Pastor, I'd like to arrive there at your home to see you. And I said, no, why? I said, I don't want to see anyone right now. I want to rest. And he got offended. Because sometimes they don't know what my schedule. They don't know my lifestyle. And that day, that afternoon, I just wanted to rest. My body was basically screaming at me, saying, just rest. It was very dry the way that I delivered it, But the truth is, I didn't say as dry ice. I mostly said, you know what, I'd prefer you come at another time, because right now I do need to rest. I've had 2 weeks or a week. It was a time when I was traveling more often. I had to do some things here, and I had some other things to do. I went 2 times to Tucson, Safford, I don't know where, to bring sheep and goats, and then I went to the auction. I did a lot of things that week. And honestly, I just wanted to rest. And then I later knew that he got offended. So why would I lie saying, oh, I can't because I'm not home right now? Why would I say that? If I was there, how some of you do it, you guys lie. But the Bible is saying there, Alex, thank you. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, glory to God. Verse 45, but because I tell the truth, remember Jesus speaking here, you do not believe me. Which of you convince me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? 47, who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. Very tremendous, huh? I don't want to get out of the subject, but this is very good. Notice how all this comes from verse 31. Every time I read this, I can't avoid just laughing. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him. So imagine those who hadn't believed in him. Those who had believed in him, he said, you are of your father the devil. Not just, oh, I believe in God. Oh, many believe in God. It's Jesus, your Lord. Do you submit to him? That's the being. That's the big difference. Now notice in verse 48. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "We do not speak rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon." Was the Lord Jesus Christ a Samaritan? No, he was a Jew. Was he demon possessed? No. Now in the New Living Translation, or in the New International Version, then New Living Translation, "Are we right in saying that you are Samaritan and demon possessed?" And the New Living Translation, "You Samaritan devil, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon?" Now, is it true that it was said? Yes. We can read it right there. It's true that now, what was said, was it true? No. Now, let's go to the part where this is trying to refer to in 2 Timothy. In Timothy 3, verse 16. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So people interpret this differently, especially these preachers. And again, I'm not attacking anyone, just how it is. When something happens bad, they'll say, "Oh, well, God is causing it with a purpose. God has a purpose for this." What purpose would God have? Haven't you heard when people say, "God is sending you that test to teach you something or to mature you"? Don't you think that the Christians would be the most mature in the world if it were that God sends a test to them? Because God is not the one who causes problems and issues. God does not cause the disgraces around the world. God caused this. No, it's not God. God is not the problem. And again, we'll see it right now. The problem is that this entire world is under the authority of Satan. Now, what does this mean? Because, Brother Hughes, we see it right here. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, this is how the Greek says it, and there's a big difference. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration. It's a big difference. In King James Version, the original, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. By inspiration of God. So what does that mean? Well, I'll explain it. How many of you like to understand it by a very practical, simple way, with no religion? Given by inspiration, or if you want to understand it as inspired by God. Let's suppose that we're in a meeting in a corporate, and the entire head of directives and all of investors are gonna have a meeting. So there's the secretary who takes notes of everything that was said in the meeting. So suddenly, I'm talking, and the secretary is taking notes, and all the investors are there and listening. But suddenly, inside of my talk, I say, and yesterday, the day yesterday, an elephant came flying through the window, and then later on, two cows came in flying as well. And then everyone are gonna stay thinking, what is this guy saying? And the secretary perhaps thinks the same thing. Saying, but you know what? All she does is just continue typing, even if it doesn't make sense or not. That's what given by inspiration means. The Holy Spirit only left registered what was spoken, be it by God, be it by whoever, be it by the devil, be it whoever. The Holy Spirit left it registered. You understand it now? That's what given by inspiration or inspired by God means. Understand that? the Holy Spirit registered everything that was written here. To what? To learn from it. Some of you look at me with a face of what? You're looking like, what? Again, if I tell you that the day before, be it whatever that I saw or did, although it might seem like crazy talk to you, you might say that that's not true. I already said it and someone wrote it down or recorded it, which is why the Holy Spirit left written here these things that were spoken against the Lord Jesus Christ. And right here it says right there, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But inspired doesn't mean that God provoked it or caused it. There are some things that God did inspire literally through his prophets to speak. But there are others where the Holy Spirit only left it recorded. How many of you have read in the Bible and seen things that some men said, some things even just lies, or prophesied from God when God never inspired them, but the Holy Spirit left it recorded? I'm making myself understood here. That's what given by inspiration or inspired by God means. Because if you interpret it the way that religion interprets it, it is that God inspired the Jews to call the Lord Jesus Christ a demon possessed? Well, God didn't inspire them. God didn't motivate them. It was Satan himself who caused them to say that. To call him both a Samaritan and demon possessed. Amen. Oh, yes. You understand? You not understand something? Now, let's see. Some of you biblical scholars, please help me. I don't want to lose too much time here, but I'm trying to. When the Lord said, is it necessary to pay tax to Caesar? And then he said, bring me a coin. And they brought the coin and, whose is this? The Caesar. He said, give. But what is it? Luke 20, thank you. Luke 20. Yeah, well, I'm right here in Luke. I'm on Luke 21. I'm going to find it. 20. 20, what is it? 20. 22. Let's see if it's, yes. Then they asked him, saying, teacher, we know that you say and teach righteously and you do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But he perceived their craftiness and they said, why do you test me? Show me a denarius. Whose image and inscription does it have? Then the answer said, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Notice how the Lord said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and God to God's. So you stayed with that, right? Now, in Luke, same book of Luke, chapter 23.
Levantándose entonces toda la muchedumbre de ellos.
Verse 1, then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. This. And they began to accuse him, saying, 23:1 and then 2. They began accusing him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Is it true that it was said? That's right, because it's written right there. Is it what said true? No, because the Lord never said not to give to Caesar. But the devil inspired these people. It wasn't God. Another way of inspiring, or it was God who incited people. But when the Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God, why would the Holy Spirit record these things? Why did he record what Satan said to Eve? And so many things. Good things, bad things. They were recorded. That's what inspired means. That the Holy Spirit recorded everything. What God spoke. What man spoke. What people spoke. What the very devil spoke as well. To what? Right there. Because all scripture is inspired by God, or given by inspiration, or we'll say all scripture was recorded by God to correct, to teach, to instruct. Amen. Now, going back to Job 1. This man who was a just, righteous man did not understand some things. And yeah, there are kind people. But, you know, they speak things with their... just bring to themselves. Going back to 121, Job. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. Do you think Job was inspired by God to say this? Of course not. Job was just speaking out of desperation. Inspired just means it was recorded, in other words. Yeah, it was recorded to what? So that we don't be speaking these things to the point where this doesn't even make sense. Look, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. It depends on what age you have and what size you are. Do you think you're going to be able to go back into your own mother? She's going to come out running. And then he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. And then we study this in the other sessions. This is about, what, the fourth session that I have? Study series? Yeah. We already studied this. It was a devil here. And then, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Many people speak this way. God bless them, but... go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 2. I'll remember something here. And from here, this is where the tradition of man gets the idea of blaming God for everything. I want to guard what I'm saying. I don't want to judging some or people or churches and pastors, because it's not my heart to do so. But it's an astounding number of people who still believe that when someone is going through a problem, it's God who sent them that problem to teach them something. Look, God does not need tests to teach us. A test, in this case, they use it as problems or afflictions. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and he gave us the written word over above all. First, the correct order, I should say, is he gave us the word and the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit could help us understand the written word. God does not need tests. Now, it's true, we do learn from our errors. And many times, many problems that we can be going through is because of our own decisions, and the devil is always there just trying to make that situation bigger. But if we give him place, of course. So many times it's our own decisions that give place to the devil, and the devil will take advantage. What business do I have, me at my age, yesterday in the afternoon, instead of being very comfortable at home, normally when I don't go out, I stay home, what do I have in a party or at some dance, or where there's a shootout, boom, they kill me. And then God took him. No, I was in the wrong place. For starters, I shouldn't be in those places, in a cantina or something like that. People say, but what's wrong with that? They'll say like this, why do bad things happen to the good people? Have you heard that talk before? Have you heard? Very simple. The enigma, the question that people make, the biggest enigma is, why do bad things happen to good people? Because the good people sometimes are in the wrong place. Or sometimes the good people are with the people that do not help them, and they'll drag them out, and then the devil will take advantage of it. You're in the wrong place. On a daily basis, daily, we see, we hear things on the news. Yeah, this young teenager, so-so, came out of a party, and he just wanted to go. He just wanted to go have fun. He was a kind kid, but he was having drugs at the party, or they drugged his drink. So why are you there? What are you doing in a mundane pagan atmosphere? Then you're in the funeral, and the pastor say, God took him. Jehovah gave, and Jehovah shall take away. Well, perhaps it's the parents who do not know how to educate. Education starts at home. The education of children starts at home. 20% at church, 80% at home. Not at school. Don't wait for them. Please. They're going to train them at school to go to hell. Amen. Don't wait. Education starts at home. A couple weeks ago, one of you told me, oh, Pastor, it's so nice to see your son playing the guitar and then seeing how he helps you with you guys. And then I see Kayla singing. And then I see the other two girls. And I didn't want to be rude because it was a compliment. It was a compliment. But I said, sister, it's something that I've taught you for years. Them being there is not free. Again, I'll tell you, I taught them with the word. I taught them speaking with them, giving them advice, correcting. Majority of times, but there are times where I didn't just depend from the Holy Spirit. I had to depend on the Holy Belt. As children, they weren't going to cause a tantrum. One time, Anthony, how old was he? About two years in Walmart. A tantrum with Nubia. He got on the floor because he wasn't something. Nubia said, I'll be right back. Took him to the bathroom, dropped his pants, gave him a good spanking, but nice. When he came back to her cart, all Anthony would do. Never again did he make a tantrum. But the parents let that, whatever. You know what you're doing? You're causing them to do what they want to do. Who will do the first year from five to 10, from 10 to 20, from 20 to 30, and that's how they're going to go, because that's the seeds that were sown in them. It's not the children, it's the parents. It's not luck, as some say. Neither is it of, oh, well, they're good. No one's good, truly. If there's something good in us, it's because of Jesus and the Word. If they're good, it's because of Jesus, and we did what Jesus told us to do in the Bible. The Bible says, Proverbs 21, verse 6, now I know in society, they say, oh, well, that's child abuse. We're not talking about beating them every second, but beating them, or just beating them whenever. But you know, it's also know how to correct. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, my dad, he would hit. The belt and him were one. Just how we are one in Christ. Well, he was one with the bells. Like, he would hate us. But, you know, I look back the years and trust me, I had to be spanked. I was uncorrectable. I was always thinking when I was 6, 7 years old, I was always thinking what new trick to do. Who to trick when back then we would play with marbles. Some of you think that we're talking about back in the old times. We were cavemen. No, we would play with I don't know if to go rob cans. My uncle had a store, and back and behind it he had a big yard with a gate, and I would go under the gate and I would steal his cans, and then I would go and resell them to him. He had so many cans he didn't even realize it. I said, "Uncle, I came to sell you more cans," and because he would pay me with chips and pastries. What a time back then. Now I just see the picture and I just say, "Ah, oh, I remember. I just remember. Now I can't have those things anymore. I did back then." I always thought what new thing to do, what new playtime. I would not like today where kids are like this with their phone. They look like zombies. Like, you know, there's a world out there. Like, look at the duck that's flying, or the geese. I was always thinking of what new mischief to do. What door to go ding-dong ditch. Let's see. Okay, I already got this road. Okay, I got this road as well. Yeah, I was uncorrectable. I couldn't be disciplined. Well, guess what? Glory to God that they gave me. If not, where would I be? Perhaps I'd be dead now. I don't know. And these are things that happen. God corrects us with his word. God gave and took away. Now, First Psalms, First Samuel. Now, there's a story of Anna, who was the mom of Prophet Samuel, a woman of God. But in what time did Anna live? Under the law. And again, during the law, Job lived before the law and during the law. Well, people thought the same, that if something good happened, it was God. If something bad happened, it was God. Well, she was crying, and she would cry and pray because she did not have children and wanted to conceive a child and have a child with her husband, Cain. If you have two children, a pair or twins, man and woman, you could call him Cain, and then her Anna. Now notice how she rejoiced. 1 Samuel 2. And Hannah prayed and said, she was expressing her gratitude. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our Lord. Take no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth." Now, Hannah was praising God and recognizing God. Can you see that? Now, verse 6. "The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave." Now, in the here, grave also refers to the Sheol, or hell, "and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up." So there are preachers who, they'll even preach a whole hour. So were these two verses. But Hannah said this, and Hannah said it out of gratitude, but because she lived in a different covenant compared to ours, and she did not have full revelation. But don't come and give a testimony. "Oh, glory to God. I want to share a testimony for the Lord kills and he gives life. It's very biblical." No, but Hannah said it again because she did not understand. Right now, we just saw it. in John 8. 44, remember, the Lord himself said, speaking on Satan, what was it? John 8:44. He was a murderer from the beginning, which just saw in the New Living Translation. Assassin. So we see here that Jehovah kills and gives life. Another very well known verse for us, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and that thief is Satan. But Brother Hughes, Hannah said it here in the Bible. But Hannah said it, she was saying it as a recognition towards God, praising him because she was happy, she was joyful that she was able to conceive. But for you and I, it's not the way of being happy and praising God and blaming him for something. Because now we have a revelation of the Lord with the Holy Spirit, and we have this whole Bible. Hannah did not have this whole Bible, and she did not have the Holy Spirit in her because it was not the time. Someone say amen. There are millions of Christians around the world. Well, brothers, the Bible says that the Lord kills and gives life. And one time I went to a church before they gave me the place to start preaching. We were receiving tithings and offerings, and I said, this woman said, the Bible says that Jehovah kills and gives life. And as you know, that's how she was saying to the congregation. I went to preach there. I was not part of that, a member of that church. But it seems that a few days before in those weeks, it miscarried. And now about 8 months, 8 or 7 months, and unfortunately she miscarried and she had to have a C-section when she got the baby. And she said, and she brought up this verse, as the Bible says, gives life and takes it. And he let me have my baby for 8 months, but he decided to take him. You think that's God? And that's how millions and millions of Christians speak in denomination. I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying this to bring clarity. Matthew, verse 7, and again, it's better said the devil. Many times Christians do not know how to take authority. It's never God. God is never the problem. God is always on this side of the universe here. The problem is here with us. Or we give place to the devil, or we speak too much trash. But it's never God. God is never the problem. Matthew 7, he is perfect in all his ways. Matthew 7. Verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Verse 9. Or what man is there amongst you who, if this son asks for bread, will give him a stone? What would be the answer? Well, no one. Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent. Well, no one. If you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things for those who ask him? Same chapter, Matthew 7, verse 9, 10, and 11, New Living Translation. The verses that we just saw. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Well, of course not. Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. Verse 11. So if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, amen, that's the word right there, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Cancer is not a good gift. a disgrace where someone dies in a traffic accident, where they're going on a trip and then they call you, they say that they died in an accident. It wasn't God. There are millions of people who are resentful with God because he said, God took my son, God took my mother, God took this, God took that. Because they've heard preachings like this for many years. What they call the sovereignty of God. That's what they call it. I'm going to explain a little something on the sovereignty of God. Where the sovereignty applies to being sovereign. Did you know that God chose in which nationality, which country you were going to be born in? Because he has a purpose for that. God decided which sex you were going to be. Be it male or female. Talking about sex, there are only two. According to God, and I believe God. Have you heard of those people that say that we come from the monkey, we descend from the monkey? Nubia and I were watching a TV program. Remember, Nubia, we were watching a Spanish program. There's a Spanish program that we follow. They show many things of the culture of Spain. But one of the presenters, and I think these are those people who know nothing of the word, but they said, they were presenting something about the chimpanzees, and they said our closer ancestors. And I remember one time someone here in Douglas said, no, I come from the chimpanzee or from the monkey. They looking at him and said, well, you do, because you look like one. All you're missing is the tail. But I come from God. Think about it. If we come from the monkey, then why aren't all those monkeys men? Right? I mean, if we come from a monkey or from the chimpanzee, why didn't they evolve? Only us. And they stayed behind. They stayed as monkeys. That's so stupid. How stupid is that? You need more faith to believe those stupidities. They come from the monkey. Well, I don't know, but I came from monkey. From the monkey. And I look at him. I said, well, you did. You did? I said, yeah, you look like one. All you that's left is a tail and some bananas and to hang from a tree. But I came from Adam and Eve. And then he got offended for that. But he was saying that he came from the monkey. Why do you get offended? Amen. People are weird these days. Now, it's because we read these things, or people read these things, they get that idea of, oh, God. God is sovereign. And no, God, in his sovereignty, decided what man you were going to be. If you were going to be man or woman, because he had a plan and purpose, your nationality, who you were going to marry, because although many people don't follow that, what you're going to dedicate your life to, which is why we need the direction of God, because he is sovereign. He will direct us. But the bad is when the sovereignty, they apply it to illnesses. For example, this person was healed. Oh, God wanted to heal this person. But this person passed away. Oh, well, God didn't want to heal this one. Heal this person. That's dumb. Because Jesus paid so that everyone could be saved, so that everyone could be healed. If we receive it and believe it or not, that's not on God. It's our issue now. Hallelujah. This is so good. So you could be more into it, more happy. Yeah, but I see you, and I see you very... Could it be or could it not be? Because it's much easier to blame God. How many of you know that it's easier to blame God? Because something happens, well, God knows why. Well, yeah, it's easier to blame him. Now let's go to chapter 2 of Job. Chapter 3. Job chapter 3. Now, not today, but we'll continue on chapter 2. Remember I said that I was going to get ahead a little bit here? 3:1. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job spoke and said, may the day perish in which I was born. And the night in which I was said, a male child is conceived. May that day be darkness. That's if saying, curse the day that I was born. Curse my birthday. May that day be darkness, verse 4. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness and the shadow of death claim it. May a cloud settle on it. May the blackness of the day terrify it. As for the night, may darkness seize it. Verse 8. May those curse it who curse the day, those who are ready to arouse Leviathan. What the Leviathan is, where the Bible speaks on it, etc. Let's go to 10, because I don't want to talk on Leviathan right now. I want to talk on Job. Now, verse 10, he was cursing his day. Why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Why did the knees or why the breasts that I may nurse, that I should nurse? For now I would lay slain still and been quiet. I would have been asleep. Then I would have been at rest. Verse 16. Or why was I not hidden like a stillborn child or aborted, like infants who never saw light? Verse 16 in New Living Translation. Why wasn't I buried like a stillborn child, like a baby who never lives to see the light? New Living Translation is a little more politically correct. Go to verse 25 through 25. For the thing that I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Why was he not at peace? Because he was always worried, as we saw. He was always worried about his children. His children were very perverse. He was always worried. And he started blaming God. And he started saying things like these that we just saw. And there were other more. I'm going to explain something here before starting to close up on why Eliuk perhaps wrote all of this and recorded it. Now look, chapter 2, it's what I spoke on the beginning, by inspired by God. Verse 11, Job 2:11. Just to clarify this. Now when Job's three friends heard all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and so far, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Now notice here, apart from Job, three more men. But then, I'm going to go quite ahead in Job. Go to chapter 32. Verse 1. So these three men ceased answering Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Notice, so these three men ceased answering Job, the three that we just saw. Stopped answering him, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then the wrath of Eliu, the son of Barachel, the Busite of the family of Ram, was arose against Job. His wrath was arose because he justified himself rather than God. And I don't have time to go there. You can read it at home. But Eliu spoke on, we later realize, on this person on chapter 33 to 37. Which is why I told you it's very probable that Eliu wrote this down. Now the Bible doesn't mention it here, but didn't mention it because, of course, he mentioned those because he was the one writing down what happened. Chapter 2. Now, is that clear? Now, if it weren't Eliu, no one truly knows. just as far as we know to hear. Now, let's go back to some of the things that people say. For example, with Job, one of the ones that we see here, Eliphaz said, 4:1, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, between one of the many things that they said, go all the way to verse 9, if one attempts a word with you, verse 9, by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his anger they are consumed. Go to John 4, John 20. Or now you have you also have these friends who don't help you out a lot. When you're all confused, don't go with your confused friends, because they're gonna confuse you much more. John 20, verse 21, 22. When he said to them, he showed them his hands. And when he had heard it, he breathed on them and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they weren't consumed here. And he said, they perish by the breath of God. So there are those who use what Eliphaz and Job said to preach on Sunday and just blame him, blame God for things that happened. What's the issue here? When people are going through situations, quickly they think like this: God is blaming me, God is correcting me, or God has a purpose with all this. No. It's the ignorance of the Word of God. It's people do not learn, they do not receive, they don't use what they have. For example, I see the majority of you. As far as I know, from what I know, all of you have baptism of the Holy Spirit. The evidence is speaking in other tongues. But how many of you truly spend time praying in tongues? You, very little. Now, I'm not criticizing or condemning anyone, but that will limit you hearing the voice of God. Then you take decisions out of desperation. You don't learn how to hear from God, and God is warning you about certain things, and we take decisions. And then we get into problems and we think that it's God. When you have the ability to pray in other tongues, To the point where you now depend on the Lord instead of just throwing out words, as my wife was speaking on. And you wait a moment and you start praying again. And you stay a moment quiet. The Holy Spirit of the Lord, I can tell you, speak to your body on this area according to the scripture. I speak a lot to my own body, saying, Father, thank you that every bone in my body is healed, that every organ functions according to its design. For what I spoke on Thursday on acts of thanksgiving, just saying, thank you, Father, receive it. Doesn't matter how you feel, if it hurts or if it doesn't feel, if you're sick or you don't, get yourself accustomed to speaking on what God has given you, on the promises. People take decisions. In their own flesh, they walk in. They walk offended, lack of forgiveness, and all that is just giving place to the devil. Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, "Do not give place to the devil." Bible says, "Not be worried of anything," and people are worried, and that's true. In the natural, we don't like what are happening in our countries or around the world. It's true, and we are a little limited, but at the same time, we can't pray in the Spirit and just depend. And God will use people in other countries, and God will use the very same people who are in authority. The Bible, we see that God spoke to pagan people. He put up perhaps a thought so that they would repent of what they were going to do. God can speak to whichever president or any person who is near a president, whoever it be, and we can say, you know what, let's not do it because I don't know. I don't know why I have this in my mind. It turns out that it's God working in them. But you need the cooperation. Man needs to cooperate with God. And people don't cooperate with God. Best we can do. And when we start cooperating with the laws of God, God will always manifest through us. Why do you think the devil wants to finish with all Christians and with all the churches? Because there will no longer be opposition, because the devil would be limited. Amen. If you're in fear, God will permit it because you have the authority. Why do we see so much perversion in the world? So much cursing. There are people who say, oh, well, that's how God wanted it. Or God is permitting it for some reason. Forgive my expression, but that's trash. That's not true. It's because man has hardened their hearts. And if the world is hardened, of course, then why not Christians as well with their hardened hearts? God is limited. And I don't want to limit God in my life. Sometimes we can limit him out of ignorance. But when we know something, then let's not limit him. Someone say amen. Now go to Luke. What if you say that we depend on the Lord for something right now? Amen. Let's depend on the Holy Spirit before going to Luke. Connect with me here. Now, the Bible is going to be there. Let's depend on the Holy Spirit and something. Father, thank you. Let's pray. Well, Lord, there are those who will be listening to us through radio, through TV, internet. They will be listening perhaps on a CD, a DVD. You know the necessity that there is. Every single person, especially if they are your children. Just depend on the Holy Spirit and listen. Hear His voice. All sickness in that body, hurt, whoever is listening to me, with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I curse that illness. I curse that pain. I speak healing. I speak healing in that body. For by the stripes of the Lord Jesus, we are healed. I curse all work of the devil. Perhaps there's someone with a problem in their back, in their organs, in their feminine organs, ovaries, their uterus. They disappear now in the name of Jesus. Men with problems of their prostate and their genitals. I curse all pain. I curse all illness. I curse all work of the devil in your body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. I speak all kidneys healed, pancreas, lungs. Thank you, Father. They are healed. All pulmonary related, all respiratory illnesses are healed. The power of God flows freely. The power of God flows freely. Thank you, Father. Perhaps a woman, I'm hearing, but the medics told them that their baby has a problem of deforming. Well, thank you, Father, that your powerful hand, that baby is healed. In the name of Jesus, whoever is listening, and they will be perfect. No deformations. Hallelujah. That's the thing that we do. We understand the word of the Lord. These future weeks I'll be speaking on false grace that I'm giving. Sin, debauchery, disobedience has nothing to do with the word of God. On the contrary, you become more obedient when you receive the grace of God. Your faith will work better. Disobedience, debauchery, all you'll do is just harden your heart towards God and give more place to the devil. Happen. Now in Luke 6, Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. The New Living Translation. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you will determine, the amount you get back. Now, I like the King James Version in English, where it says, shall men give unto your bosom? I'm going to stay in the first part where it says, running over, and then, shall men give into your bosom? Which means that God will use people. There are those who tell me, oh, no one ever gives me any. That's right. Because God spoke to this person where I've mentioned before, where I was given the property that I have now. But I also give. I've also given. There are those who can't even give, not even a good morning. They don't even give a dollar split in the middle. They don't give anything. And they want it to be given to them. Now here's where the law has come. Has nothing to do with the grace of God. The grace of God was given by the law, actually. You don't give. God is not obligated to give to anyone. Because again, God is not obligated to speak to anyone to bless you. Because God doesn't just have money up in the heaven. He won't just start printing money like we do here in the United States, like no value. But that's another subject. Now, what the Lord does is, the Lord is the owner of all gold and silver in the world. So you might ask, well, why am I not given? Why doesn't anyone give anything to me? Because you never give back. You don't give, and God is not obligated. Now, God is good. All of the United States about. Well, access and the government, food stamps, but he'll be very limited. The government programs are very limited. They'll never be able to enrich and go far beyond. It's right there. We have a version in Spanish, perhaps, where it says, Shaomen, because God will speak to someone. Well, it seems like we don't have one. The same measure you use will be measured back to you. Now help me with the new international version. It says the same thing, for the measure you use will be measured to you. Well, that's to say that, yeah, there are those who limit God in their life. And those people will always criticize everything. Very curious how they'll go and give money to Walmart and other stores, but they never say anything about something here. Talking about giving in the kingdom of God, it's just the devil working through them to what we know is correct. Someone say amen. Thank you, Father. Stand on your feet with me. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Let's participate now of the area of tithing, offering, sowing and reaping. It is an honor to be able to bless someone else, be able to extend the kingdom of God, be able to take the word to other nations, that people may know the truth of the word.
I was teaching in a church in Phoenix a while. I was about to leave. I opened the door to my pickup truck. I came and I was about to leave. A young couple came over to me and they said, Hughes, Brother Hughes. Oh, Brother Hugh, glory. It's so good to see you. See you on the internet. Brother, we want to give you something. Throw this in your seed. This is for you. They were specific. They give me something, and I quickly give it to the church. But they say, this is... And glory, God, they gave me four. I didn't ask for anything. They wanted to give that to me, and I'm not also going to say, no, you don't have to. No, obviously they didn't have to. Service was done. There were some people around, and I went out through another door, and they were on the other side, and they came around walking quickly. And they were asked the ushers, hey, where's the pastor, Pastor Hughes? They ran. And it wasn't because someone was obligating them. It was God in their hearts. So. That one nod. Very simple. But brother, you've taught us that giving is not a act of obligation. But in fact, I'd never seen them, but they were thankful for the word that I've been receiving. Hallelujah.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618. Or visit our website, mpfccc.org.